Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, October 23rd, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. From the seed that Enki planted deep within human DNA, that potential is now awakening. Now is the time for the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, to complete its awakening and stand up among the many friends gathered to welcome the sovereign peoples of Earth. Welcome, Sovereigns. You notice I'm calling you Sovereigns now? That's because you are. Whether you realize it or not, you are Sovereigns. And that's how the universe is going to see you. So it's time to start acting the part. Just a little word there. For spending your Saturday this afternoon with New Eridu,
And a special thank you to everyone who's going to be listening in the archives. I hope you guys can join me one of these days and maybe call in and have a little dialogue. But if you can't, well, there's always the archives, and I appreciate your listening to them because it shows you're interested. A little bit of an update before I begin and everything. It's a very little bit of it, too, because not much is going on. And that's a little scary. After all the frantic stuff that was going on a couple of weeks ago with the New York sighting and the stuff going on in China, it's like that happened and a bubble burst. And it has pretty much been very close to dead silence for me. And I'm hoping that dead silence part isn't literal. But I'm just going to continue. I had a little discussion with Eloy about what I should do. I said, I'm worried about Enki because I haven't had any contact with him, and I've had only just bare contact with the others that I usually have contact with. And I'm worried about that because that happened right after that big China thing. And I don't know what the heck that was because we never got any more information on that. And I can't get any more information on it because I don't have contact. So little freaked out here, trying not to be. And their advice to me was very curt, and they cut contact with me too. And that was, keep playing your part. Let us worry about it. You keep playing your part. So this tells me something's going on. But it's not anything I can do anything about. So here I am, playing my part. I had mentioned on my Wednesday show that we had a possible little Pleiadian contact, and it was an indirect contact because the Pleiadian actually got in contact with my husband. Now, he's not a UFO person at all. He only saw his first UFO about, I guess, 5 or 6 months ago, and he had an open mind before that. Because he had seen something before, but he didn't know what it was because there was a military base close to there, so it could have been something military. But truly unidentifiable and not even guessable kind of thing that he saw was about 4 or 5 months ago. So he kind of humors me a little bit with the UFO stuff. I haven't really talked to him about what Pleiadians are like. And so when he came to me with a description that completely matched the description of Pleiadians that I have heard from other people who are in contact with Pleiadians, I realized that it was a good likelihood that it was a legitimate contact. This Pleiadian was pretty much the way they described them, all the way down to the ship and the appearance of the person and the behavior of the person. Probably a real contact, and apparently that Pleiadian was looking for me. Well, sorry, sweetie, you landed in the wrong head. And the other thing that confirmed to me that this was a legitimate contact was that it left a memory trace. A lot of contactees say that they're left with an odd thing that comes up in their memory that's not really associated, but kind of associated with the contact. And some people have put that down as a cover. When you do a psyops on somebody and you don't want them to remember something straight, they'll implant another, post-hypnotically implant another memory on top of it to try to jumble things up. Well, this was small enough that it wasn't going to jumble, but it was clearly an implant because what was implanted was a song that he doesn't like. He got an earworm, which was related to the behavior of the Pleiadian because she giggled. And he got an earworm of a song by the Big Bopper, that one of the lines in it about the giggle in her talk, the wiggle in her walk and the giggle in her talk. And he doesn't like that song. And it was driving him crazy. And he goes, it's related to that. And I know it's related to that. And I'm like, and I don't think he knows about the implants, the memory implants. I don't think he knows about that at all. He might, but, you know, we haven't talked about it. So that was another confirmation that this was probably a legitimate contact of some sort. However, I have put it out there that if the Pleiadians want to talk to me, I will talk to them. I'm not, you know, I don't have a problem with them. As far as I know, they shouldn't have a problem with me. So if they need to talk to me, they can come direct if they want to. But that hasn't borne any fruit. And, oh, well, we'll see what happens. Or it could have just been one person just playing some games. Who knows? You never know. They have a sense of humor, too. Which kind of brings me around to today's topic. And today's topic is contactees, channelers, and charlatans. Oh, my. Yeah, oh, my. How can we tell the difference between legitimate messages and messengers and those who are perhaps deluded or worse, faking it for their own purposes? Wow. You know, that's important. We get on YouTube and we see messages that people have channeled and we don't know for sure where they got the information. You know, was this something they read out of a book? Was this something they heard from somebody else? Was this something that came into their head? You know, were they on something at the time that it came into their head, et cetera? It's kind of not easy sometimes to tell. And that's why I'm going to try to touch on some things you can be looking for as you're looking at messages. I know this much. Today's topic hits pretty close to home for me personally because of my role as the voice of New Eridu and in my dual role as representative of the Enkite Anunnaki to humankind and also as advocate for humankind to a larger assembly of sovereign civilizations. And let me tell you, you start telling people, I am an advocate for humanity to ETs, and people will start looking at you like you've got three heads. So that's not something I go around in my day-to-day life and tell people. And it's something I don't talk about a lot here either because there's not a lot to talk about. It's not an exciting role. It is probably just the beginning of opening the door to the role. So it's not anything to brag on. All I can say is that I haven't made an idiot of myself yet. I'm sure I will. I'm fully familiar with getting the look. The look that says, I not only don't believe you, I think you are nuts. And that's okay. I don't mind people thinking that about me because if they think about it that way, that tells me they're not ready for it. So I clam up immediately because they're not ready for it. And my foisting it on them is probably going to do damage. It'll probably make them less ready than they already were. Just like if you try to foist religion on somebody, they're going to run screaming the next time anybody starts talking about religion. So same thing here. Advice is they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. Now, I realize that it's really easy to mistake what I do for channeling. Now, I don't know how channelers do what they do. I don't understand how they perceive their channeling. I'm not in there to be able to perceive what they perceive. But I was a magician for a very long time on my own, before NK resurfaced in my reality, and before I came to understand his real identity. As a magician, the concept of channeling is really fraught with danger. It is perilously close to the classical definition of entity possession. Entity possession is where a person is taken over and surrenders their will to another entity and allows that entity to use them as a vehicle. And that can be as a mouthpiece or as moving around and actually actively doing things in the world. That's anathema to a magician. A magician does not submit their will to any other entity. Their business is with Source and only with Source. And if you read up on magic, particularly magic in theory and practice, that is spelled out explicitly in there. Your business is with God and only with God. So this whole idea of submitting your will to someone else is not going to hack it for a magician. So I don't do that. And I take precautions to make sure that I don't. I can't be tricked into it. What I have is telepathic contact. And I've had telepathic contacts on and off throughout my existence with a very few people and a few animals. And these are entities, these are people and animals that I knew in physical reality and was able to confirm later that there was a telepathic contact. Or, in the case of animals, I was able to observe behaviors that indicated the contact had occurred. So I kind of know what telepathy feels like, because I've done it. I know its quirks. One of the hallmarks to look at when you think you're in telepathic contact is how many senses is that contact coming in on. Even the best telepathic adept out there is going to leak a little bit. You're going to, if they've got a really bad itch, you're going to know they have a really bad itch. If they're not feeling good, you may know that they don't feel good. If there's a lot of noise around them, you might actually hear some of the noise. I've even had instances where I have been able to see through other beings' eyes. And that's a very interesting experience, too, because that other being doesn't quite see the same way you do. So some of these senses don't line up exactly. And for just a moment there, you have this other entity's set of senses, and you're borrowing them. So if you're not getting a contact on multiple levels, if all you're doing is hearing a voice, for example, that's a little suspect. I mean, it could be that you're just kind of not paying attention, but it also could be that it's fake or that it's a delusion. So just bear that in mind when you think you're having a telepathic contact. Look for other senses that are being activated at the same time and what's coming in on those other senses. And I have a feeling that's probably going to be a good defense against that if I'm going to put a voice in your head stuff that they're doing, our PSYOPs people are doing. I think that may be a defense against that. So be very mindful of that if you ever have something like that occur. And if it's not coming in on multiple senses, do what you can to get away from it. If it's a legitimate contact, it will come back in better shape the next time. As I have said with guides, legitimate guides don't take offense. So do what you need to do to protect yourself on that. you're going to have to excuse me today. We've had a lot of strange weather. It's been blowing up a storm around here lately, and my voice is kind of cutting in and out on me today. Number one, what's a contactee? Let's define some things. What's a contactee? Contactee is a person who has, through one means or another, established contact with what they believe is an extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional being. Now, that contact can be something like seeing a UFO, or it can be an astral experience, or it can be a telepathic experience, or it can be a dream experience. Dream and astral are pretty close in reality. The contactee has a very clear sense that they have been in the presence of another being. They are not. They have no mistake in their mind that this is something that they generated, and they can usually enumerate why they're sure of it. In other words, you know, things came up in that contact that they would not have known, could not have known. Or things were so strange, they can tell that this is not something they could have imagined, because it wouldn't be anywhere in their imagination. It wouldn't resonate with any part of them. That's why a lot of times I look at these contacts that have to do with medical experimentation. And I'm not going to go into the gory stuff on medical stuff. We all have read and heard the stories of some of the things that have been done to people. And it really, that one kind of sticks with me, because I think people can imagine that. I think we've all seen Clockwork Orange. I think we've all seen, you know, horror movies that have, you know, scenes of abuse in them. And certainly these days, we've seen movies that featured nasty aliens. So I kind of suspect that this medical experimentation may actually be our own people or agents of our own people. So I think those contacts need to be seen in the context of possibly human using the cover of aliens, that false flag. Other contacts are just beautiful, just marvelous, and there's no misinterpreting them for being something evil. There's no possible way that that a rotten agenda could be buried in there. Those are probably legitimate, although they may also be something of the person dealing with themselves, dealing with their own superconscious. So bear that in mind, too, when you hear about the really lovely, wonderful, loving contacts. Those could be yourself as well. Not necessarily, but possibly. What's a channeler? A channeler is a person who says they are in contact with other entities, and these other entities are feeding them information. And like I said, I don't know how the channelers are doing this. I think some of them are using classical mediumship. I think that David Wilcock may be in the classical mediumship basket. I think that most of the people that are doing the Galactic Federation of Light and Sananda and all that stuff are probably using classical mediumship. And that's not to say it isn't valid, because it is valid sometimes, not always. Because, as we know, if you look back over the history of mediumship, mediumship has always had its proportion of people who either think they're doing something and aren't, or who clearly are not and are putting on a show for profit. So with channelers, you have to look at what the material is that they're channeling to try to determine what proportion of it is real. Because what you're getting there is the same thing that wrote the Bible. Okay? You're getting a person who is getting a message, and it is filtering through their equipment. It is, and they're not telling you that it is either. That's the other important thing to realize about a channeler, is if they do not tell you clearly and up front that they are the one speaking to you and that they are interpreting the message that they are receiving, they don't understand how it works. Or they are lying to you, one of the two. Because you cannot channel any way without it going through your personal brain cells, your own neurology, your own senses, your own vocabulary. It may come in your pineal gland, but it's going to come out your mouth or your fingertips. One of those places it's going to come out. And to get those two things to connect, you have to have a human being. And when that happens, you've got all the human stuff coming in. I'll give you an example on that. A lot of the messages, Jalayla Starr is guilty of this one, and so is Sheldon Neidl. Political agendas. When political agendas show up in channeling, you can guarantee that person is not channeling anyone but themselves. There is not an alien race out there who gives a darn. I almost used the wrong word. Who gives a darn about who wins an election. They do not care. They are so far above politics that all they recognize politics as is something that gets in the way. They are not going to be talking about global warming. Matter of fact, I was listening to a video the other day of a woman who claimed that she had talked to Wernher von Braun and had learned a bunch of stuff from him, and that the aliens were you know, going to help us with global warming. Well, you know, one of the messages that was typed at the bottom of that video was from a user that said, the minute that global warming came out of her mouth, I stopped listening. That's somebody who's got a clue. Because anytime one of those topics like that comes up, now she didn't overdo it, so it may have actually been legitimate. All right? It may have actually been legitimate, but the ones that go on and on and on about it and make a big, huge point about it, that's a human agenda. That's not alien. That's not a contactee. That's not extra-dimensional. That's not anything other than the person's own subconscious agenda. So watch out for that kind of thing. Watch out for the profit motive. And by that I mean FIT, not PHET. Although some use the profit, PHET, to get profit, FIT. Anybody who does this for a lot of money. And there are a number of them out there who do it for a lot of money. If every time they do stuff, they're going to push their book. If every time they do something, they tease you and then they say, come, for the rest of it, come see my seminar. And the seminar is hundreds of dollars. The only one of these events that I've gone to There's only been two that I considered going to, and unfortunately they happened on the same weekend, and that was Jalayla Starr and David Wilcock were on the same weekend here in Austin, which was like, how could you do this to me? Jalayla's was only $90. She's not getting rich off of this. So even though I think her methodology may be flawed sometimes, I don't think she's in it for a bad reason. David Wilcox was a much larger production, had a lot higher production value, I guess you could say. And his still wasn't that expensive. His was $300. It's within the reach of an average person without them having to bankrupt themselves. There are other folks out there who hold these workshops, and they are thousands of dollars. And I can promise you that anybody who's out there charging thousands of dollars for a workshop is only out for their own stuff, and they don't really care, and they will tell you anything that they need, that they feel they need to keep you coming in and coming back and buying their stuff. So just look and see what they're charging for things, and if it's too much, there's a problem. Charlatans. Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's always been charlatans in any form of mediumship, in any form of representing one being to another. And that includes politics, by the way. Exo or regular. There's always a risk that you may be dealing with a double agent, or you may be dealing with somebody who is in it only for themselves and playing both sides against the middle. So, be aware. Use your discernment. Charlatans are not consistent. Most people are not as good a liar as they think they are. For one thing, you have to have a really good memory to be a liar. This is why I don't dare lie, because I can't remember what I did this morning, okay? I'm not going to remember what I told somebody or who I told what. So you have to be have a good memory to pull a con. These folks don't have as good a memory as they think they do. So if you watch them from day to day, you'll notice inconsistencies. One day they'll say one thing, and another day they'll say another. Or they will change their story a lot to suit who it is they're talking to. If they can see a certain aspect of their story wasn't going to resonate with somebody, they'll change it to a little bit something else. But it'll be enough of that, enough different, that it actually changes the meaning of it. So watch out for that. They're always trying to hook you in. I'm the only one who has the correct message. That's the thing they're going to tell you. And that's not true. Because the thing that I learned as I've been working with Enki is that when he sent his message in here to this planet, he sent it broadband. He sent it to everybody who had an antenna up. And I have heard his message popping up in other places. Even down almost to the exact same words, same phrases, same timing, from a lot of different people. That's why you'll get one of these guys that's an outlier. And I'm going to say David Icke because he's a pretty good example of this, but I don't think he's necessarily doing this for bad reasons. He's way out there on the reptilian thing. And I don't see anybody else resonating that same material. It could be that he's correct, but it's such a small little subset. It's like an academic who's got this little tiny narrow band of study that nobody else really is interested in, that he ends up being the sole voice on that subject. So it could be that. But in the case of charlatans, the reason that they're the only voice on something is because they're the only one who made it up they're the only one who figured they could get away with it. The reason that you're not seeing other people resonating that same subject matter and the same timing and doing, you know, moving in unison. These people that I'm talking about that got the antenna up and got that same message from Enki that I got, we're moving in unison. We're switching subjects within a day or so of each other. So we're all getting the same message. That's good confirmation. Other people, you look at them and nobody else is resonating that. That is always something you have to look at and question. I'm curious. I've missed something here. They're disgusting worm-like things that give a bad name to worms. I missed something in the chat here. I'm not sure what the worm-like thing was. I've run into the magical description of the loathly larva. Yeah, I think that's what the disgusting worm-like thing is. And believe me, they live inside of people. And I have met people. Have you ever shook hands with somebody and they just had a slimy, disgusting feeling? You felt like you needed to wash your hands afterwards? That's when they've got one of those things going on. I don't know what that is, though. And Gia says, everyone can fall into what you were saying because we are all different and resonating. And that's true. That's true. But it's the larger pattern that you need to look for. It's the larger pattern. Look for the bigger pattern. Look outside of yourself. Look outside of your circle. See if other people are resonating the same thing. And like I said, I don't mean to diss anybody in particular here. We all are human. We all make mistakes. We all have our own weird particular circumstances that may make our messages look a little weird to some people. Okay? I'm just using people that you may know as examples of things that you can be watching for, simply because they are good examples, not because there's anything wrong with them. Each message that you receive either resonates with you or it doesn't. Take what works for you, leave what doesn't. Use your discernment. I'm going to give my voice a little bit of a rest here, and I'm hoping that y'all will call in and let's talk about this. You have strong feelings about this. I know Gita does. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm going to drink a little bit of tea, and y'all think up your questions and think up your comments and call in. The call-in number I posted earlier in the chat, it is 347-324-5239. I'm going to copy that into the chat room and as we play our music. Gracias. I thought that song was particularly appropriate because sometimes that's what it feels like we're doing, moving clouds, because it's so hard to grasp, but it's so important to do. I wanted to mention something that I just picked up out of the Skype chat, and I don't see him here on the radio show, but Jacques put up there, in response to my announcement of the show, I had said, call in and share your insights about messages and messengers, who your favorite messengers are and why, and if you have been a conduit, share your experience. And he responded, oh, that's too easy. My conduit is a hotline to source frequencies. What other is there? The rest are charlatans. Yes, that's pretty much what I said earlier when I said the magician's business is with God and with him alone. So really, that's who we have to answer to. We have to answer to ourselves and ourselves as source, as a part of source. So, yeah, our business is with God. But that doesn't mean we can't talk to others, because guess what? Those others are also a part of source and also a part of God. So, and therefore they're a part of us. So, yeah, we need to talk to others too. But we have to be really clear on what the role of those others is at the time we're talking to them. Because sometimes the role is not as an advocate. Sometimes it's as trickster, and sometimes it's as a deceiver. Now, tricksters will teach you something. They're not just going to harm you. Deceivers, well, they're there to really give you a whack. So watch out for those guys. Anyway, have a caller. Javonda, you are on the air.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Kidder. And hello, everyone.
Hi, Javonda.
Hi. Yeah, I thought I'd call in, and I like the subject that you are talking about. And I just thought before calling in that it doesn't really matter whether a messenger is in truth or not in truth. It is... you are still the one that is responsible for what you want to believe of what is messaged, you know. You are still responsible for yourself and what you believe. And if you really seek for a confirmation that a messenger is always in truth, you know, then you give away your power, because you rely upon someone else. And it's always a thing, I think, good to see what is resonating with you and what is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation where you've believed in something because it was a wonderful concept, but then it was later revealed to you that perhaps the person who was putting that concept forward had a darker motive for doing it, and you had to decide whether or not to continue to believe in that concept or whether to abandon it entirely because of guilt by association? Have you ever run into that?
Yeah, I think so, but I cannot give you details.
Yeah, that's something that I've had come up a couple of times in my life where I just said, well, you know, this person, the reason they were doing this, you know, wasn't the best thing in the world. So I can leave what they were doing. I can leave the bad stuff that they were doing, and I can concentrate instead on the positive message that it had for me, and I will go ahead and run with that, and I will adapt it to my purposes.
But right.
Even these guys that are out there maybe trying to do it for a profit, if they've got something that resonates with you and is working for you and that you can act upon and is something you can really put into play for yourself, go for it. Yeah,
right. I understand that.
Take the message. Don't take the messenger.
Right. But it can also be so that that person is not really having a second agenda, but they don't even know that. Because we are all human, you know, we all make mistakes and we are all egos and we go for the good thing, but then something else also starts playing a role. I really agree with you that that you can still continue with something that is in the center, in the heart, good, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just give it your own meaning and continue, but
exactly
in a way that you think is okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Kutz just put up in the chat room, Paramahansa, I hope I pronounced that right, said it means take the pure essence and leave the rest.
Yeah, that must
that's
be
pretty
Paramahamsa
much, pretty much
Yogananda. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, take the pure essence and leave the rest. Concentrate on the essence.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know something? Something else that I learned from Enki is that it's possible for the good to co-opt the bad, too. So sometimes these guys that are doing the naughty stuff and they're charging too much for their stuff and they're only out for the ego gratification, they might open their mouth and accidentally spill something useful. They might actually
mm-hmm.
be reaching out and getting that message out to people that otherwise it might not get it.
Yeah.
So they're useful in that, too, if that's how they're being used. Again, this is a matter of using your discretion, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all different ways of looking at this, isn't there? Turn it upside down now.
Yeah, right. You know, you can get a bad feeling if you find out that motives are not like you wanted them to be. But and the easiest thing is to leave. But right. It is a learning curve to continue and make it work, you know, for yourself. It's not easy, but leaving is also it seems to be easy, but in a later moment in your life you might encounter the same sort of things again, you know, because you didn't deal mm-hmm. with it earlier. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm looking to see if there's anything else in the chat room here that needs to get covered. I'm kind of running out of material here.
Oh.
Have you ever been to a seminar from somebody that was, talking on a New Age topic or something, and you either felt like they were really on the beam or that they were kind of off on their own little planet or off their own ego trip or something?
Yeah, you know, I English words don't come yet. experienced a lot of things because I wanted to learn, you know, I wanted to discover things, and I have indeed go to many of those things, you know, and
What was your takeaway from most of them? Was there like a consistent you felt like it was resonating with you, or did it kind of vary a lot?
Well, it varied a lot. Certain things I immediately felt, okay, I should not join that. Although I thought, okay, it has good things in it, but I should not continue with that. But also other things, I thought, okay, let's just see and try. And then later, at a later point, you decided to leave. But in the meantime, you learned lots of things, you know. I think everyone has their own way to learn and experience by experiencing things. And yeah, so sometimes you join something that later you think, okay, no, that is not it, you know. But I think that is with everything, because as you grow, you always are looking for a higher truth, you know. And when
exactly.
When you learned something from a group or a person, and at a certain point it is enough, then you know it, and then you have to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's all a learning experience, and even the stuff that you don't resonate with, you learn from, because now at least you know you don't resonate with it.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, even the stuff that you don't resonate with,
even that's
learning, because now at least you know that you don't resonate with that.
Yeah,
you've
right.
learned something more about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've only got 3 minutes left on the show.
Oh.
Did you have anything to say in closing?
Well, I think that you are doing a wonderful job. I think that you are doing a wonderful job, and you are doing many shows lately. Most of the shows are too late for me to attend, but I was happy to join this show. So, and
thank you for coming. I know it must be horrendously late for you.
It is.
So thank you for coming.
Almost midnight. Yes. Okay.
And thank you for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and close the show at this point.
Okay.
We've only got a couple of minutes remaining, and I wanted to thank everybody for coming to the show, and everybody that's going to be listening in the archives, and everybody who inadvertently contributed to it on Skype, meaning Jock. And we're going to go ahead and close the show out at this point with a little bit of music. I'm not going to do that.